We're now going to have our Bible reading. So if you'd like to join me as we open up to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through to 40. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks, Jed, and good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all this morning. Can I get my slide? There we go. We got it. Now, this past week, I was doing a bit of preparation, and I came across some websites that listed the signs and the symptoms of excess worry. And I'd like to share a few of those with you. They suggested that worry and anxiety have become a problem in your life when you often find yourself stressing and thinking the worst in every situation. You're filled with irrational fears for the future and thoughts of impending doom. You constantly want to fix problems in your life, but you get frustrated when you discover that you can't. You lose the peace, contentment, and enjoyment of life that you once had. You're easily distracted, and you struggle with concentration and memory. You're quick to get irritated and agitated, and you overreact even to the smallest things. You fixate on what other people think of you, and you often find yourself replaying events in your head. You have trouble sleeping, your stomach churns, you often feel dizzy or fatigued. You seek to escape your troubles through alcohol, gaming, shopping, getting away from it all, or whatever particular method you may use to get away from your troubles. And finally, you avoid social situations, you reduce your involvement, and you care less and less about other people. My friends, maybe you recognize some of these things in your own life. Maybe you recognize quite a few. And so I want to ask you this morning, how much of a worrier are you? I'm not asking whether you have serious concerns in your life, things that you need to think about and talk about and pray about and seek to deal with. No, but what I'm asking is, do you let those concerns consume you? Do they take over? Do you let them affect yourself and others in negative and harmful ways? And you know, I think at the end of the day, we have to admit that we're all prone to worry. We may show it in very different ways. One person might hide it deep inside, while another will wear their heart on their sleeve. And I also think we all have good reason to worry. Some of us experience small problems every day, while others are facing very major issues in their life. But not one of us is immune. And so it's a trap that we can all fall into. And for some of us, it's a trap that we never seem to escape. But that's why this passage from Matthew chapter 6 is just so beautiful and so helpful. Because here the Lord Jesus addresses this very real and relevant issue. And he tells his followers right up front, do not worry. In fact, three times in verses 25, 31 and 34, he says, do not worry. And so unlike those websites that I mentioned, he's not suggesting ways for us to reduce our anxiety and minimize our stress. But Jesus is telling us that we can be free from these things altogether. But when you hear me say that, you might sit there and scoff and think to yourself, well, that's a lot easier said than done. You might think, well, that's just great when life's a breeze, but if you're in my shoes, if you were faced with my troubles, then you would see that I've got every reason to worry. And so telling me to stop is simply a waste of time. But my friends, I think that to experience the true beauty of this passage, that we need to see it less like a cold, heartless command. And we need to see it more like a loving, pastoral visit from Jesus. Think of it as Jesus coming to your place in the midst of your troubles and putting his arm around your shoulder and saying to you, my sister, my brother, you truly can overcome this worry in your life. And I want to show you how. In fact, I'm going to give you three good reasons why you truly can conquer this worry in your life. And the first of those reasons is based on simple wisdom. For in verse 27, Jesus asks a very pertinent question. He says, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? The original text, it speaks in terms of distance. It says, can any of you by worrying add a single cubit to your lifespan? In other words, are you going to reach any more milestones by living a stressful life? So what do you think? Well, the answer is fairly obvious, isn't it? Of course not. Worry isn't going to extend your life. In fact, if anything, worry is going to reduce your life as it causes so much detriment to our health. Or look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So often we find ourselves borrowing anxieties from next week or next month or next year, don't we? So often we stress about things that haven't even happened yet, and in many cases that probably never will. But what's the point in that? Today has enough troubles, so let's just focus on that and leave those future troubles to worry about themselves. And so in these verses, Jesus is essentially saying that when you really think about it, worry is actually a complete waste of time. It's a completely pointless exercise. It achieves absolutely nothing. If you lose your job, it won't help you to find another. If you get sick, worry won't help to make you any better. If your relationship deteriorates, worry will do nothing to repair it. It's nothing but an unproductive time waster. As my old mate Ziggy once said, worrying, well, it's like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And so as we consider the troubles in our lives, my friends, those things that are causing us stress, we need to listen to this simple wisdom of Jesus. My friend, whatever you are going through today, no matter how difficult that might be, try to understand this, that worry is not going to make it any better. And anxiety about the future is futile. So for your own good, and for the good of those who are around you, resist this temptation, because there really is no point. But while this first reason is based on wisdom, the second reason is based on trust. And you know, this is where Jesus really gets to the heart of the matter. You see, in verse 25, he began by saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." In the previous passage, he had been speaking about how heavenly treasures are so much more valuable than earthly treasures. And here he says, therefore, as a consequence of that, worldly things like food, drink, and clothing are not worth stressing about. But then he explains why. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? As I was writing these very words, there were sparrows hopping around on the balcony outside my window. And so I did look, and I saw that those birds, they weren't interested in planting crops. And you know what? They don't go to the supermarket either. And they don't have a pantry, and they don't have a freezer. In fact, they didn't even have little backpacks on with pre-packed lunches. But yet they never, ever go hungry. And all because our God feeds them. But listen to what Jesus says. Are you not much more valuable than they? That doesn't mean that those birds are not valuable. Matthew 10 says, not a single sparrow falls to the ground outside of the Lord's care. But just imagine then how valuable you are as one created in God's own image. And so he cares for you as part of his creation. He cares for you as part of humanity. But on top of that, he also cares for you, Jesus says, as your heavenly Father. For I ask you, my friends, did he not choose you before the very creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight? Did he not call you out of darkness into his glorious light to be adopted into his own family? Did he not give to you his one and only Son so that by believing in him you might have eternal life? And did he not promise that as the one who gave up his Son for us all, that he will also, along with him, give us all things? And think also of verses 28 to 32. Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. When's the last time that you really stopped to look at the beauty of a plant, or a tree, or a flower? There's so many kinds, so many different colours, so many different designs. But they're not stressed about how they look. They don't go on marathon shopping trips to find their next outfit. But Jesus says that not even Solomon, King Solomon, who was proverbial for his magnificent wardrobe, not even he was dressed as beautifully as even one single flower. And so if our God cares for even a blade of grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, then how much more isn't he going to provide for you. But of course, the problem is not the extent or the suitability or even the reliability of God's care. The problem, of course, is our own willingness to truly believe it. For we are those, aren't we, of little faith. For we are those who can look no different to the pagans, no different to those who don't know God. And so we need to ask ourselves if we are truly people who claim to rely on Jesus for our very salvation, who claim to have faith in God for our deepest needs, then does that actually show in the way we live our daily lives? For you know, I think sometimes we can claim that we trust, but yet our attitudes and our actions can tell a very different story. What shall we eat or drink or wear? How will I ever afford a house? What can I do to cope with this pain? How can I mend my reputation? Who's going to help me with this heavy workload? How can I feel less socially awkward? Where will we live as we get older? How am I going to overcome these deep regrets? How can I pay these enormous bills? What will get me through this stressful period? How will I deal with my loneliness? How am I going to pass these exams? Who's going to solve this terrible problem? How will I make this difficult decision? How will I ever get this sermon written? My friends, I ask you, as I ask myself, are you a believer? Do you trust in Christ alone for your forgiveness? Do you depend on the Lord to take you to heaven when you die? Well then, why, oh why, do we worry so much? Why, oh why, are we so anxious about worldly things? Our Lord loves us more deeply and more faithfully than we will ever know. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how heavy our load and no matter how deep the valleys are that we go through. And He is so utterly in control of this world, and He is so utterly in control of each of our lives that not even a hair can fall from our head without it being His will. And so what Jesus is telling us in these verses is that if you know God as your Father in heaven, then you can trust Him with every single struggle in your life. You can bring all of your troubles to Him in prayer, and you can leave them with Him. For He loves you so profoundly. You are so valuable in His sight. He knows exactly what you need, and He will take care of you every single day. But you know, if you're here today and you don't know God as your Heavenly Father, or if you've come to realize that you don't actually trust Him, then this morning I want to ask you, why not? I urge you to taste and see that the Lord is good, that He's a God of might and power, of grace and forgiveness, of blessing and provision. And when you truly know Him as the Lord of your life, well, then you do not have to worry anymore. But there's one final reason why we don't have to worry. Jesus has given us a reason based on wisdom. He has given us a reason based on trust. But now He gives us a reason based on priorities. And He's already alluded to this in verse 25 when He said, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" In these words, Jesus reminds us that the worldly things that we are worried about, well, so often they're just so small. They're so trivial when we look at them in the grander scheme of things. And let's be honest, if we stop and think about the things that we've actually been stressing about, well, are they really that important? Should I really worry about how I look? Or that I can't go to that party? Or that someone scratched my car at the supermarket? Or whether the food I brought to the growth group dinner was good enough? or why not enough people liked my Facebook post. You know that old joke about first world problems, don't you? Well, how very true that can be. But what about those more serious problems that some of us face? Some of us are going through them right now. Well, you know, even those can do with a good dose of perspective. For my friends, let's be perfectly honest. What's it actually matter if you're financially poor when you have spiritual riches in Christ? What does it matter if you had no family whatsoever when you're a child of the living God? What does it matter if people shun you when you have a friend in Jesus, a friend who loves you enough to die in your place? What does it matter if you live life with some kind of constant burden when you know full well that freedom from every burden lies ahead? What does it matter if you get sick and old, or even if you die, when we know that this life is but a drop in the bucket and we have a glorious eternity that's awaiting us? And so, my friends, we need to view the troubles of this world, even the saddest and severest of our troubles, in the right perspective. That's why in verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, Jesus is saying that if we truly want to overcome the worries in our lives, then we need to align our priorities with his. And so if we truly are children of the risen King, then our priority will be his kingdom and his righteousness. And so our greatest desire is to enthrone Jesus as Lord of our lives. Our desire is to live in humble repentance and in total dependence upon him. Our desire is to serve him and to obey him, to love him with all our hearts, and to live our whole lives for him. And surely our desire is to extend his lordship to those around us. We want to promote his kingdom values in our homes, in our workplaces, in our church, in our city, in our nation, and in our world. Surely our desire is to work together to promote the glorious good news of his gospel until all of his elect have come in. And as we make that our priority, my friends, we can rest assured that the Lord will take care of our needs. And so, my friends, if this truly is our desire, our longing, and our first priority, then I promise you that our worldly concerns will fade away. It's not that we won't care. It's not that we won't need to deal with those things. But the point is that they will no longer dominate our thinking. They will no longer consume us. They will no longer paralyze us. They will no longer wear us down. They will no longer cause us to fret and to stress and to worry. So friends, as we said at the beginning, we're all prone to worry and we all have reason to worry. But I truly hope today that these verses have given you a new perspective. Because sometimes we can be like the man in this picture, can't we? I'm not sure if you can see it, but it shows him coming to the cross and he's weighed down with a huge sack filled with all of his worries. And he comes to the cross and he prays, "Oh Lord, I give you my burden." And then he says, "Amen." And he picks them up and he carries them off again. Do you see what's wrong with that picture? But yet that's exactly what we can do. And so I urge you this morning, let's listen to this counsel from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's hear his words and respond to them, perhaps in a way that you have never responded to them before. For Jesus, our friend, has come to visit. And he says to us, he says to you and to me, do not worry. Do not worry, because it really makes no sense. It won't do you any good. Do not worry, because you have a heavenly Father who cares for you so much and who listens to your prayers, and you can trust him with your life. And he says, do not worry, because there are far more important things to concern ourselves with: the kingdom and the righteousness of our Lord. You know, this whole matter of worry and stress and anxiety is a deeply personal one for me. You could say I'm an expert on this topic. I can worry with the best of them. But I want to invite you to join me in a new start, trusting the Lord and seeking his strength to worry no more. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and loving Father, Jesus has told us that in this world we will have troubles, and we know that full well. And Lord, some of us are facing incredibly difficult situations in our lives, even right now. And Lord, may we understand that you're not telling us to ignore these things, but Lord, you're telling us not to worry. Lord, we pray, please open our eyes to see that we can face even the most serious problem, like a terminal illness, with worry or without, and that we're far better off without, because it does no good anyway. It doesn't add a single hour to our lives. And Lord, help us to learn to trust you more deeply. Trust you to truly take care of us as you have promised to do. To truly believe that you love us and that you value us and that you will never forsake us. Help us to truly give our burdens over to you. And Lord, we pray, please help us to get our priorities right, to see worldly things in the right perspective, and to focus instead upon you and your kingdom and your call on our lives. For we know that even the worst thing that we might face in this life will one day be gone, when you will take us to our perfect and eternal home. Lord God, please work in our hearts today. Please calm our fears. Please reduce our anxieties and take our worries away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.